SBS Radio.
In this bulletin, Tribal Warrior Crew set to become the first Indigenous team to officially finish the Sydney to Hobart yacht race. Volunteer firefighters battling blazes in New South Wales offered compensation for putting themselves at risk. And US President Donald Trump condemns anti-Semitism after a knife attack in a Jewish community. Seventy-five years after its first staging, an entrant in this year's Sydney to Hobart yacht race is making history as it sails down the east coast towards Hobart Constitution Dock. Back in 2016, the Tribal Warrior was an unofficial entrant in the race, but after several years of fundraising, it secured official entry status and flies a spinnaker that bears the Aboriginal flag. Wayne Jones, skipper of the Tribal Warrior, wants the entire country to know about the historical significance of his crew's participation in this prestigious race.
In the history of the Hobart, 75 years in the history, there's never been an Indigenous team. Never. And this is the one. I want all the people around Australia, everywhere, to look at this boat and put their dreams into this boat and follow us down the coast. That's what it's all about.
Volunteer firefighters battling blazes in New South Wales will receive thousands of dollars in compensation for putting themselves at risk to save properties and lives during the summer season. Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced the financial support on the weekend and extended the scheme to other states and territories who want the compensation for volunteers. The federal government has allocated $50 million for the funding offer. Resident Rachel has noticed a lot of firefighter activity in New South Wales, including back burning.
We've been watching the back burn most of the day, and we've just noticed a bit of a flare up and lots of flames come through that wasn't manned, so we just thought it's probably a good time to go, and lots of influx of trucks.
Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk has denied reports she turned down the federal government's offer to compensate the state's firefighters. Premier Palaszczuk plans to write to Prime Minister Scott Morrison, arguing Queensland's volunteer firefighters deserve the same level of support as others. One newspaper is suggesting she rejected a $6,000 offer and that the Prime Minister was disappointed with her refusal. Meanwhile, fire authorities say they are satisfied with the public's response to evacuation orders in the high-risk East Gippsland region of Victoria. Emergency warnings remain in place for blazes in the state's east, and a total fire ban is in place. The Country Fire Authority says several blazes have merged into one fire that is 100,000 hectares in size, and the perimeter is as big. And it's a big risk. The CFA's Ben Rankin says firefighters and crews are well positioned to protect communities.
Other parts of the state have come in to help and support our fire effort here. And we've got 13 strike teams plus some other CFA teams in the freehold as well for asset protection. And they've also come from all various parts of the state to support us through this really hot weather and this bad day today.
A man accused of stabbing five people in a northern New York City Jewish community has been arrested, arraigned, and pleaded not guilty. 37-year-old Grafton E. Thomas was taken to police custody after the attack at a rabbi's home during a Hanukkah celebration on Saturday. Police Chief Brad Wedel says a witness recorded a car number plate which allowed officers to search the license system and react quickly. Before the arraignment, Mr. Wedel outlined the charges facing the accused man.
He's currently being held at our police headquarters. He will be arraigned at some point later today. And he will be facing five counts of attempted murder and one count of burglary in first degree.
New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo is describing the alleged crime as an act of domestic terrorism.
The situation has gotten so bad, frankly, that we have to increase our legal enforcement, not just with more police, but we have to change the laws to call this what it is. This is terrorism.
A military plane has delivered medical supplies to support those hurt in a deadly truck bombing in the Somali capital. On Saturday, a truck exploded at a security checkpoint in Mogadishu, killing 90 people, the city's worst attack in more than 2 years. Sharifa Roble lost her 25-year-old daughter in the blast while her youngest daughter is recovering in a Turkish hospital. Ms. Roble says she just wants her surviving daughter to get better and resume her education.
I sent my two daughters to university yesterday. One died in the blast and the other is in a severe condition. I had to struggle with their upbringing because I was both their mother and father.
The Taliban is reporting it has agreed to a temporary nationwide ceasefire in Afghanistan. It is hoped the ceasefire will allow for a peace deal with the United States to be made so U.S. troops can withdraw from Afghanistan after 18 years of military engagement. The U.S. also wants the deal to include a Taliban promise to stop Afghanistan being used as a base by terrorist groups. It is expected the Taliban chief will approve the agreement and the ceasefire could reportedly last around 10 days. The Medical Technology Association is worried a rise in private health insurance cancellations is putting further strain on Australia's public hospital system. The association's research shows Australians are dropping their cover because of premium costs, but 11 million people still have private insurance. Chief Executive Ian Burgess, who commissioned the research, says requests for insurers to reduce cost increases to less than 3% have been somewhat ignored.
The first action is to ensure that premiums don't increase and actually go below zero the next premium round. Without that action, with continued increases, younger people and families will just continue to drop out of private health insurance because of those ongoing price increases. So the government needs to step in and take that action. And over the medium to longer term, continue with its reform process to improve the affordability and value provided by private health insurance.
And in sport, Ichiban has been officially named as the overall winner in this year's Sydney to Hobart Yacht Race. It's the yacht's second handicap victory in 3 years after crossing the finish line on Saturday evening. The New South Wales yacht won overall in 2017. Ichiban finished about 12 hours behind the Lion Honours winner, Comanche. And in tennis, Britain's Andy Murray has pulled out of next month's Australian Open because of a pelvic injury. The former world number one has been making a comeback to the men's singles game after having a hip surgery shortly after last year's Asia-Pacific Grand Slam. Murray's team says it wasn't an easy decision, but the 32-year-old will not travel to Melbourne for the tournament because his injury sustained at the end of the season has not improved. The Australian Open begins on the 20th of January 2020. And having a look at the weather around the country, Perth, cloudy day, clearing, top of 26, Adelaide, very hot and windy, 40, Melbourne, very hot with a late cool change, 43, Hobart, late storms, 40, Albury-Wodonga, a sunny day, 28, Canberra, hot and mostly sunny, 39, Wollongong, partly cloudy with possible haze, 30, Sydney, mostly sunny with possible haze as well, 28, Newcastle, sunny, 35, Brisbane, partly cloudy, 30, Cairns, possible shower, 31, Townsville, partly cloudy, 28, Alice Springs, sunny, 34, Darwin, possible showers and probably a storm, 35, and Torres Strait Islands, a partly cloudy day and a top of 30. And that is NITV Radio News.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.